Scriptural affirmation today comes from the final chapter of Luke. Luke 24, starting at verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts?
Behold, my hands and my feet, and then I myself, handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, and he see me
yet. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, and that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. And ye are witnesses of these things. Oh, Lord, we are looking for that power from on high today. We are looking for the Spirit of the living God to drench us in your presence. We are looking to be filled with you. We are looking that your word would be spoken. We are looking that we would hear from you. Let the Spirit of the living God direct our very paths this day so that you might be glorified, that you might be magnified, that your name might be exalted in this place and around the world. Great is the Lord. Thank you for your presence here today. Now, Lord, let us just worship you, worship you, worship you. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. He's in my life. He's a good shepherd. He loves us, cares for us, loves us, uses us, who works in us. Interesting thing to take a good look at here in the 24th chapter of Luke. We've been in Luke for the last 3 months, and it's been an exciting time, to say the least, for me. It's been exciting because we get to think through some of the wonderful things that God wants to show us and wants to do in our lives. And it makes us, it's given us a chance to put ourselves in the place of the apostles and disciples and just to soak in what God is saying to us. And there were some unique times. And here in Luke 24, starting at verse 36, they are waiting for what Jesus is going to do next. They are now convinced that Jesus was crucified on the cross. He was there on the cross and he died. He died and it left so many questions. He died and it left such they didn't know how to handle after they'd seen so many things. They knew of his birth and they knew that he lived a sinless life, and they knew that he had, as a man, had this amazing ministry where people were healed and delivered and changed, and things happened that they could in no way explain, that he was the very Son of God, God himself in flesh, a 100% God and 100% man, and something that they could not even wrap their minds around. And here, they're now trying to follow his last directives of waiting for him. How good are we today at waiting for him? How good are we at reaching out for him and just doing the last thing that he said? And so they're there, and they'd heard that the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking bread. And they knew all of this stuff with that the fellows had found out on the walk to Emmaus. And they were wondering what's next. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith, "Peace be unto you." You ever wonder why that's the first thing he says when he appears to them? Because if somebody appears in this room out of thin air, "I'm coming, Bobby." You know, because that's rough. You know, this is the Bible is so real. The Bible is so real because you get it. You know, that would have scared you. Now, some of you say, "Nothing scares me." You scare me. You know, because that would have been amazing. And he says, "Peace. Peace. It's okay. You can relax. Peace unto you." But they were terrified. And they were affrighted. They were just amazed. They thought, you know, "We've seen a spirit. This is, you know, what are we going to do? There's a spirit here." And he said unto them, "Really?" You know, it would be like, why are you troubled? This is me. Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? What do you think I'm going to do to you? Behold, I want you to understand, this is me. Behold, my hands, my nail pierced hands, the hands that had lovingly embraced children, the hands that had laid on the eyes of the blind and brought life, that brought sight, that brought hearing. My hand, look, see my hands. Look at my feet, the feet that had gone all over Jerusalem, all over Galilee, gone all over, making a difference. See it. I want you to see these things so that you might recognize that it is me. It's me. I'm here with you doing what I promised. I'm here. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. You can touch me. Sometimes we feel like we need a touch from him. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. It must have been an amazing time. So they're now there, they can breathe. They can breathe. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, it's like, wow, can this really be? Here we are, and this is really happening. Oh my goodness, I can hardly believe this. And they wondered. And he said unto them, have ye here any meat? I like that. You got any food? One of the ways that have always been a way to relax is around food. You know, you watch the game and you get some chips and dip. You have a family gathering and everybody makes their special dish. We used to go over to my Aunt Jackie's house and everybody would bring their best. And in my family, their best was awful good. I'm gonna tell you, they would bring some food that you could talk about 20 years later, like I'm doing. And you know, it was good stuff. And there's something about being around food. Everybody has their meal that they like. You know, for some it's the barbecue on the holiday, and for others it's the Christmas dinner or the Easter thing or whatever it is. There's something special about food. And you know, there have been a special time with Jesus around fish. You know, it reminded them of what they were called from. It reminded them of what they were called to. It reminded them of him. And there he says, look, there's some broiled fish. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and he did eat it before them. Everything really was okay again. Sometimes we have to admit that we have to stop and think, Lord, is it ever going to be okay again? You lose a loved one, and you wonder, is it ever going to be okay again? You have difficulties in finances, and you wonder, is it ever going to be okay again? A job doesn't go the way that you want it to go. And you wonder, is it ever going to be okay again? You hurt and there is pain in your body. And you wonder, is it ever going to be okay again? And God, in his own way, so sweetly reminds you, I got you. I am with you. And in spite of the real, honest-to-goodness pain and hurt that is plaguing your life right now, it's all right. Together, we will walk through this and you will be blessed. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. as I walk through life with you, as you listen to my word, you heard these things, that all things must be fulfilled. All who will live godly shall suffer persecution. All of us go through pain in life. We must recognize that God is taking us through all of this. We're like the clay on the wheel. He's brought this clay that we are, this wet dirt that we are, and he is spinning us around and around and around. And sometimes he takes his hands and he constricts us, and sometimes he takes his hands and he shapes us, and sometimes he takes his hand and he flattens us, and he's moving us and he is making us, and round we go until we're disoriented. We don't understand all that's going on, but we come to the realization that we are in the potter's hand. He is a sovereign God, thoroughly in control, and we are on his will, and his spirit is pouring out upon us, making us supple and able to handle it, and he is shaping us, and the fire that he will stick us into will make us stronger, and we will become beautiful in his sight, being made by him a masterpiece, a masterpiece. Oh, he is shaping your life even now. Shaping does not always feel good. Shaping does not always give you what you want in the immediate time. But you can be assured that if you will allow the shaping to happen, that in the end you will see yourself as a masterpiece of God. Do you realize you are fearfully and wonderfully made? You are made in the image of God. You're another brick in the wall of his dwelling place. The suit that shapes. And so he spoke these words while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. It's got to happen, guys. Which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. That's the threefold division of the Old Testament. The law, the prophets, and the Psalms. The things, all the stuff that the Word of God had talked about. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. It's the word of God. I love the Lord because he heard my voice. Oh, he's good. So, here it is. Then opened he their understanding. I must admit, sometimes you hear the word and you hear the word, and it's the same word and the same words that have always been said, but then one day you have this aha experience. One day it comes that it's like, when did they sneak that into my Bible? It's the word becomes so alive. He opened their understanding. Lord, would you open our understanding right now? Right now, Lord, would you open our understanding? Right now, would we get it? Right now, would we hear you? Right now, Lord, I'm asking right now, show them your goodness. Show them your reality. Show them your power right now, Lord. Don't wait. Right now, I'm asking that, Lord. Right now. He opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written. And thus it behooved Christ to suffer. Jesus had to suffer the pain of indignity, of hurt. He suffered because the only way that you and I could be redeemed, the only way that you and I could be saved, the only way that Adam's sin could be paid for so that the righteous wrath of the Father could be quenched, the only way was for Christ to suffer. He paid for the affront to a holy God. He paid it all. He paid the price of your mess. He paid it all. All to him I owe. He paid it all. It behooved Christ to suffer. But he didn't just die and to rise again from the dead the third day. He got up so we can celebrate. He got up so we could be who we've been called to be. He got up that we might have life and life everlasting, life more abundantly. He got up now. Recognize that repentance, turning away from the sin that so easily beset us, turning away, we can't go there anymore, turning away. No, it makes no sense to walk back into slavery, turning away, not accepting that foolish life any longer, turning away, knowing that we make mistakes, knowing that we don't always get it right, but we can confess our sin, and he is faithful to forgive us and cleanses from all unrighteousness. As we repent and be saved, repent and be changed, repent, turn away. That repentance and remission of sins, it's gone. We're free. We can celebrate now as we repent. We could celebrate repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, in the Congo, in the mountains of Asia, in the lower parts of South America, in Alaska, in Nelson, in Garrettsville, and I know it's hard to believe it could be preached here. But even here, his name should be preached, beginning right at where you live. It begins right where you live. Let the word of God be preached. And you are witnesses. You have been changed. You have been made different. The very fact that you have been changed, that you are born again, makes you a witness, shows that, wow, he could do it with anybody if he could do it with me. What a great God. If he could do it with me, he's an amazing guy. And everybody's got to look and say, oh, he must be something. He must be real because he's doing it with them. Oh, my goodness, I didn't think it was possible. I didn't think that a real change could come. But I see a real change. I see a real difference. I see the power of God working in that person's life. And that must mean that I need to examine my life. Because when I examine my life, it makes me recognize that there's been something initiated by the Father that I must respond to. I must say, Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe that he is. I believe that there is none other like him. I believe, I praise his holy and righteous name. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. There is no other name under heaven by which I might be saved, but I can be saved because he promised me so. I believe in his promises. I believe that he's real. I believe there's none other like him. Great is our Lord. Amen. Great is our God. Praise his holy name. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Listen, I know what you're made of. I know that you're just dust. And you need the power to do this. God gives us grace. And that grace comes in the form of empowering by the Spirit of the living God. May he fill us today with himself. May he allow his Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to empower us to do whatever it is that most glorifies him. Today, you can be moved to glorify God. Today, you can live in such a way that you glorify God. Today, you can be changed. Today, you can be whatever it is that God has called you to be. You can by him. By him. Are you willing to wait on him? You know, because we got to understand that this is not something that we do on command. I think we get the horse behind the cart sometimes. The cart's out front because we think that this boatload of blessings that God wants to give us is something that we demand. I think we need to be more careful of that. I think we need to be more looking to how God wants to use us than how we want to use God. See, sometimes I think we think he's just a genie that if we rub the right way, we find the right formula, then God will do whatever we want him to do, whatever way we want him to do, whatever when we want him to do. We've got to understand that we are his. Now, he is ours because we are his children, but he chose us, he chooses us, and if we want to honor him, we will let him move. We will let our light so shine among men that they see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. It is about his glory. Father, I'm going to tell you right now, it's about your glory. First Baptist Church is for your glory. I'm for your glory. The Grays are for your glory. We are for your glory. It's about you, Father. I love these people, but they are. We love them because we love you. We didn't have the power to love until you opened our hearts. We didn't have the words to speak until you put it on our tongue. Every good and perfect blessing comes from the Father of lights above, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. Father, we love you. I love the Lord. He heard my voice. He inclined his ear unto me. He's listening to us today. Do you love him? Do you really love him? And sometimes we love people for what they can do for us. And I understand that. But let's go past that today. I love the Lord because he is and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. So behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Yeah. Let's get some. Power like you've never felt before. The ability to do just what God would have you to do. And he led them out as far as to Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. May we be continually praising and blessing God. Does your life continually praise and bless God? Does your life continually praise and bless God with what comes out of your mouth, with what comes from your hands, with what goes on in your head? Are you continually praising and blessing God? If you're not, you need to be endued with power from on high so that you can give yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just your reasonable service. Please do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And as that is happening, do not think too highly of yourself, but think soberly, as each man has been given a gift. Yes, even you have gifts. But it's a wonderful gift from God. You are blessed to be a blessing. It's time for us to go bless somebody. Would you bow your head with me? Dear Father, I just praise you and we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We want to truly say we know you. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I do that because you have called me. And I ask now, Lord, that you would move in such a way.